Good morning! Woo! I'm so happy to be here this morning with my family. Amen. Would you stand and worship with me?
Yeah. Thank you. I'm I'm Thank you.
Father God, that you love us. Father, that your love is so unconditional, that you sent your Son to die upon the cross for us. We thank you for that precious blood, Jesus, that saves us, that gives us eternal life, that washes our sins away far from the east to the west. Father, your word says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Father, we just pray for strength for this church today, Father God. And, Father God, most of all, I just pray for each person in this place today, Father, that their hearts will be prepared and softened for your word, Father God. Yes. And, Father, that we will accept the words that come out of Pastor Stan's mouth as your words, Father God. That we hear your voice. It'll be your voice we hear. Father God, I just ask you to bless each person today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Right. Her. Well, I wasn't going to make a big deal of this, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You know, just as our children are making their way to Sunday school downstairs, we just remember how much He loves us. I know how much I love her, and I've only gotten to know her for a few weeks. Just imagine how much God loves you. And He's known you since before the beginning of time. That even before she was in her mother's womb, God knew who she was. And then when she was in her mother's womb, He knit her together wonderfully and intricately and carefully. Because that's the kind of God He is. When Olivia was born, she almost died. I told you that story, that the cord was wrapped around her neck 3 times, and then it was also tied in a knot, and it took everything for the doctors to revive her. But it wasn't the doctors who revived her, it was the living God who revived her. Yeah. So I just say publicly, thank you, God, and I thank you for Christian parents who were there that 1 minute. Maybe it seemed like a whole lot longer than that, but for that 1 minute when she couldn't breathe and they cried out to God, thank you, God, for hearing that prayer. And today, you need to know that God loves you. that everything that happens today, all the music, what we hear, how we worship, our prayers, that none of that matters if God doesn't love us. But it matters incredibly when He does, and He does. You know, God loves us. God makes us. And He never looks at us and says, well, that's junk. Even though we might do that to each other, God never does that. God looks at us and He says, look how precious you are. Look how special. You're my child. Today you need to know that God really loves you. And that no matter what pit you're trying to climb out of, no matter what ridiculously crazy dumb things you've done, no matter what your police record is, or your... Exactly. It doesn't matter, because God loves you. And I'm okay if you cry. I'm all right with that. Marina, you're going to lead us. Come on up.
Lord, I just count it an honor that I can stand before these people, share what you've done in my life. Yes, Lord. I just pray you give me the words you want me to say to them, Lord. Yes. I just love you today, Lord. Show your love. What do you see on this towel? That's what life is without the Lord. Empty, nothing, and void. But God takes our lives and makes a picture for us. I don't know why He chose carrots and stuff for me, but it's life. And that's how my life was. The two scriptures that kind of define my life is John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Early in life, the Lord tried to destroy me. I had a disease that was incurable, where the Lord later healed me of that disease. I kind of want to give you a background of where I've come from and some of the things I've been through, because it really shows you that God does give you life. I was born at a very young age in Germany. And the Lord put it upon my parents' heart to move to Canada. So I was 6 years old. Even before that, in my family history, there's a lot of unknowns, I don't know much about my family, but the few things that I do know are not very glorifying, but that's okay, because those people never knew the Lord. The Lord brought me together with Mitchell, and it's kind of interesting, because his dad was going to buy, his grandpa was going to buy a ticket on the Titanic, and he sold it, and Mitchell wouldn't be here today, and my grandma was going to get on a ship to be with her second husband, and her brother, who was in the army, phoned her and said, don't get on that ship, it's going to be bombed. And it was bombed. So God knew even before time, before we even conceived, that He chose for us to be here. I had a very hard childhood, but it's okay, because God redeems everything. I was an only child. And when I talk about my parents, I don't talk about them to put them down, because you didn't know the Lord, but it shows you what God can bring you out of. I was a child, I wasn't allowed to show emotion. I wasn't allowed to laugh. I wasn't allowed to cry. If I chewed on a carrot, I got scolded. When we had company, I was put in my room till everyone ate, and then it was my turn to eat. So
It's like the enemy just wanted to try and destroy the seed. But when I was 14, I was in junior high, and this girl sat beside me, and she started sharing the Lord with me. And I was like, oh, this crazy girl, won't you just be quiet? You know, she's on my nerves, but she just kept loving me. And along life's way, because I didn't really have the family unit, I was an only child, I was close to no relatives, I went through sexual abuse, I had nobody. But when I came to the Lord at the age of 14, the Lord chose my family. And my family was the family of God. I didn't choose who they were, but wherever I went, my first girlfriend that I heard the gospel with, I got born again there. But even before that, I had a knowledge of God as a child. So I started off in the Mormon church. I went to the Lutheran church. Then I got saved in the Alliance Church at 14. Then I fell away from the Lord, came back in the Nazarene Church. Then I lived with Pentecostal people and had big arguments about the Holy Spirit. But, you know, God always wins. So I got saved at a Billy Graham film, and I was sitting there, and they had an altar call, and I didn't feel a thing. You have to know that I never had any emotions. So I didn't, like, I heard the word, but something grabbed my shirt and pulled me to the front of the altar. And I'm like, what am I doing here? And my girlfriend's bawling, and I'm thinking, what are you bawling for, you know? But God knew, God saw in my heart that he had a purpose for me. So I got saved when I was 14, and I didn't even know what God had for my life. I was just like, I was not good at school. I was a very simple person. I wasn't theological. I couldn't figure things out. I was just like simply a girl that liked nature and, you know, just myself. And so the Lord led me to college. I became a recreational therapist. And I didn't even like that because I wasn't a leader. I was scared to stand in front of people and to share, and like, God putting me in a spot where I have to grow, come out of myself. And I was always, never could express myself. Even standing up here, like, I may not be able to finish a whole sentence the way my head would want, but it's okay because I'm on a journey. I'm not complete yet. So when I was in Bible school, no, I didn't get to Bible school yet. I went to college, and I had it really hard at home with my parents. And I said, God, if you're real, let me get my first job away from Calgary. Because I just the pressure at home, I just felt like I was going to have a breakdown. And I got my first job in Red Deer, of all places. That was 30 years ago. And I moved into a house with these non-Christian girls, and downstairs this girl lived, and she was so nice and friendly, and found out she was a Christian. She went to the Nazarene church, and so she invited me to come, and I rededicated my life to the Lord then. And then during that time when I was working as a recreational therapist, the Lord woke me up one night and says, I want you to be a missionary. I go, me? A missionary? No, you choose somebody that knows better. Because I was thought in my mind that people were more qualified. But the Lord didn't choose me because I was qualified. He chose me because it was his purpose, and I was willing. I always had a willing heart. I said, Lord, if I don't understand something, please show me. And when it came time for that period that I went through about the Holy Spirit, it was a hard time, but I always said, Lord, I want all that you have for me. If I don't understand me, just show me. And it took about a half a year, and the Lord opened my heart, and I was filled with the Spirit. But the Lord had to deal with a lot of things in my life, and one was unforgiveness. I had a real hatred towards my dad because of all the injustices, but God was dealing with me, and he took me all the way to the United States, and I ended up in this bookstore reading about forgiveness. And I said, and the Lord says, I want you to forgive your father. And I said, God, I can't forgive my father. The way he's treated me, I don't have even any feelings for this man. But the Lord said, would you be willing if I can do it through you? And I said, okay, Lord, I do it according because your word says to forgive. I forgive my father. And from that day on, the Lord, he gives you the love. And still all the years after that, I was, you know, I'd see my dad every once in a while. My parents got divorced when I was 27. And my dad, he, praise God, you know, for his mercy. And he'd still see me and put me down, but you know, God would stick to me a love for him. So then when the Lord said he wanted me to become a missionary, I fought all the time. I've been on 3 mission trips. I've been into Russia before the wall came down, and then afterwards I've been to Tonga. But all these times God has told me to go and be obedient, I said, God, I don't have the knowledge. I don't have anything. But he looks at your willing heart. He doesn't expect you to know it all. He just loves you, and he just wants you to be obedient to him. And that's a hard thing, is if you don't never learn trust with your parents or anyone, it's hard at first with the Lord, because you see the Lord as you see your parents. And it took the Lord a lot of years and the trials he put me through to learn to trust him. He said, okay, go to the mission field. I never had any money. I mean, I've done 3 missionary journeys and 3 years of Bible school and not paid a cent. And God's provided. All we have to do is be willing. Some of you are called, but you're scared. You think, I don't have the knowledge, or, you know, I don't know what's ahead. But God wants to challenge you today. Will you go? Will you do what I say, even if it doesn't make sense to you? I think the most beautiful thing is God gave me a voice again. When you can't speak and you feel alone, and I'm just amazed, just thinking about what he's brought me through. And I could say a lot of things, but there's a few things that the Lord showed me to share. Some of the important things I've learned in my Christian walk. Another thing I want to share is I never had love. And Mitchell and I got together, a prophet that didn't know us, he said, God brought up this man into your life. Because nobody ever loved you, and he had a lot of love to give. So I just want to thank the Lord for my husband and for the family of God along life's journey that have been my family, because they brought healing. Some of the great lessons in my journey is, one, forgive. It's one of the major things, and if you can't forgive, God will forgive through you. Trust in the Lord. Depend on him. He is faithful. I mean, he is faithful. It's not easy, but he's faithful. Be honest with God. God can handle what you're going through. God can handle your emotions. If you're angry, Lord, I'm angry. Or if somebody bugs you, Lord, that person bugs me. Or, you know, just total honesty. He appreciates that. Because then if you say, Lord, just help me, he gives you that help. Be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. I think, you know, if I had tried to please people, I don't think I would have come as far in the Lord. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. I think often we don't start out because we're afraid of making mistakes. But God can handle that too. Develop a lifestyle of worship and thankfulness. Read the word and pray. One time I was very sick on the mission field, and the Lord told me to get out my guitar and sing. And of course my fleshly attitude was, well, you know, I'm in this situation, and you know, you could have brought me out, and blah, 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 you know, and you just do your thing. But I said, okay, Lord, after a while of suffering, you know, we allow ourselves to suffer a lot. I said, okay, Lord, I'll go with guitar. And I started singing, and I'm just a basic guitar player. And I sang and I sang. It must have been 45 minutes. And the heat of the Lord came through my body, and I was totally healed. And he showed me the power of worship. Amen. Be a bodybuilder in the body of Christ. One of the greatest tools that the enemy is using nowadays is division. Whether it's in our homes or amongst ourselves, Because we're not all at the same place. We don't all understand each other or why we tick the way we do or why we get ticked off the way we do. But God is always saying, forgive and just build the body. Build the body. Use your gifts. You all have gifts. The enemy doesn't want you to use your gifts because it builds the body. Remember that God loves you even though times are challenging. Even though you go through hard times, I think the hard times for me were the times where I had my greatest victory. And the last one I had is, be teachable. Even at the age of 54, I was, Lord, you know, just teach me if I don't understand something. Thank you, Jesus. So you know that God can make a nothing of something. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you touch the hearts here of those that have a hard time going forward, of those that are still hurting, of those that can't forgive, Lord. Lord, you are everything that we need, Lord. You are everything. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. And my mom's still alive. She believes in God, and I don't know, I think she's prayed. My dad, 3 years ago, died, and he was in a coma, and he was fighting 3 cancers, and the Lord visited him, and he was coma. And he phoned me after he came out of the coma, and he said, I know I'm not going to be healed, but I know now why you believe, and that's about all he said, and he died about 6 weeks later. But God is faithful to our prayers. It's not always our timing, but his. So I just thank God for his faithfulness in my life. And I'm on a nice journey, and I still got a few mountains to climb, but he's our help. So thank you.
I guess I want to affirm, you know, our love for you.
Oh.
And it's good to hear. You know, I can understand the emptiness, the hollowness, just not feeling loved. It's good to know that you're loved here.
Amen.
Right? And I just wanted to, I guess, give an opportunity to, you know, for a few people to just share a few words of encouragement. Let's encourage Marina or encourage each other. You know, what can you say to her after what you just heard? What is God speaking? Yes, Ross.
I've been on the same journey as you have.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the point of life, and I didn't have a sense of my confidence, and God took care of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I know that's possible. And I just encourage you to just keep going. And you know, we all love you. God loves you.
Yes.
Never give up trying.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good.
Amen.
That's good. Yeah, Frank.
I have come to know you as someone who is extremely reliable. When I hear you speak, I always listen because I always know that God is speaking to me. So I encourage you in your journey. You're a great woman of God. We all love you.
Amen. 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 John first.
All I want to say to you, Lillian, that keeps drumming that. That Holy Ghost comes over you like you with the lead. Just keep strumming and keep singing.
Amen. Elsie.
I want to say my name is Rachel Cohen, and you have my picture of Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
I have never seen you angry. I have seen you as a faithful follower of Jesus. And I feel so privileged to have known you.
Amen.
Both you and Mitch are like my own kids. inheritance to help people. You have heard, and God has used it to help.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Just gonna do one more, and then I guess it's usual. Okay. Okay.
Oh gosh. With a crying towel.
Thank you. Okay, Jill.
Thank you. I just want to affirm your prophetic calling. You know, you've spoken words over me that no one could have known.
That's okay.
It's God who spoke through you, and you have a heart for God, and you have a gentle heart for God. But I was most touched this morning by your humility before God.
Yeah.
And your humility before us. And so we pray, the Lord, that the Lord has brought you to us. And Lord, that you would help us to be very gentle with Marina.
Yeah.
To just continue to love her and affirm her, to continue to affirm Mitch and their home and their ministry.
Yes.
For all that you are to us, that we would just value that gift to us. So we bless you in the name and the honor of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Would you pray for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for the heart of the shepherd.
Yes,
Lord. Lord, it's not an easy work, but Lord, you gave it to him, Lord, because you knew he could handle it. And so the real shepherd bless you today as you speak from his heart.
Lord.
And the Holy Spirit bless you as you are led by him. And we just thank you for this wonderful man of God, Lord Jesus, that you brought into our path, Lord. Thank you that he is not only our pastor, but he's our friend, our brother, and he's our family.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's really important that we encourage, you know, one another. The Bible says that over and over again, how important that is, that we build each other up. And I know sometimes there's a danger that we pick one person and then we say wonderful things about her or him. But remember that we're really worshiping and we're encouraging the work that God is doing in her. And that God's the one. We're not here to glorify Marina, although she's a wonderful lady. But we're here to glorify God and what God has done in her life, how God has redeemed her life, how God has made her belong to him and to this family and to Mitch. And, you know, the glory is God's. And I just want to make sure that that's something we all understand. For the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at the last part of Matthew. We've been focusing on Matthew 26, 27, and 28, the crucifixion and the resurrection. And this will be the last message in the series. Just those last words that Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 28, and I invite you to open up your Bibles, and we read in Matthew 28, verse 16. We touched on this a bit last week. We just want to focus on the Great Commission. So we read here in Matthew 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. You might remember that from last week, that Jesus said, meet me in Galilee. So he met them on the mountain in Galilee. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Isn't that an amazing teaching of Jesus? And it's interesting that in Matthew's gospel, at least, this is where, you know, this is where Jesus leaves his disciples. This is the final message that he has for them. You know, you might think that the last word, you know, maybe would be about nostalgia. Jesus would sit with his disciples and say, you know, wasn't it great these last 3 years, and talk about the past, but that's not what he talks about. Or you might think that Jesus would be, you know, talking about his resurrection or some of the events that just happened in their lives in this past week, but that's not what Jesus talks about either. Or you might think that he would give them a final message about love. You know, come on guys, I'm leaving now, and here's the last thing I want you to hear. Love each other. And I mean, he told them that many times before, so you'd think maybe that'd be the last message or the last word. Love each other and build the church and just, you know, be good to one another. But that's not the last thing that Jesus says. The last thing that Jesus says to his disciples and to his church is go. Go into all the world. Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is one a part of it I think we miss sometimes. Teaching them to obey. Isn't that something? Go make disciples, but teach them to obey. Teach them to obey me. Teach them to obey my teachings, right? And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Thank God for his word. Thank God, and I just need that today. I know you probably do too. Just need to know that God is with me, that God is near me, that God is still in my heart and leading and directing his church. Amen? We're going to get to some of that. I am with you always. Maybe there's some of you here today, you're wondering if that's even true. Could God be with you? You know, does God even care? I know that sometimes that's how we feel when we get beaten up by life. You know, does God really even care about me? Well, listen to the word today. The very last thing that God says in Matthew's gospel is, I love you so much that I'll never leave you. And I will be with you forever. Even if it feels like I'm not with you, I am with you. Even if it feels like I'm not near you, man, I am so close to you. I am so near to you. If you'll just lift up your head, because you keep looking at the ground, if you'll just lift up your head and see me, then you'll see that I'm right there. I'm right here. And I just want to be close to you. I really do. I'm that kind of a God. I'm that kind of a father that I care that much for my children. That I just want you to be near to my heart. Wow. We've been given the mandate to go into all the world. We've been given the best news that anyone's ever been given, that there's salvation through Jesus Christ, and that whatever we've done, we can be forgiven of it and live forever, right? I mean, we have been given the power of God's word, and we've been told to go. Really, it's just one word, just go. Don't matter where, just go and tell people about me. Tell them I'm raised. Tell them I'm alive. Breathe life. He says that through us. Go and breathe life into this dead world. But go and do it. Right? And I think I even spoke last week and said, you know, we have all the authority. We have all the power. You know, what's stopping us? Well, I want to back up a bit from that. I think that I may have overstated that. And no one challenged me on it at all this week. But I want to make something clear. I think if you read the Bible carefully and correctly, that's not exactly what it says. The Bible doesn't say that I have all the authority and that I have all the power to go into all the world. No, what it says, what Jesus says, is he says, all authority has been given to me. Not me, but to him, Jesus. So let's start with that this morning. That the authority is Jesus' authority. That he gives me power, but everything that I have comes from him. All right? I don't generate any of it of my own. I'm not God. You are not God. There is one God, and that God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we ought not to read this incorrectly, like I think people often do, and say, man, I have all the authority. I got all the power in the world. No, we don't. We do not. We have the authority and the power that comes to us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ has all the authority. He has all the power. And he gives us what we need according to the obedience that we show in our lives. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But let's understand this, that this is about the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Bible doesn't say that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Stan Schalk is the Lord, or that Don is the Lord, right? Or that Lorraine is the Lord. The Bible says that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And so, yeah, and that's a good thing, because it's the only thing that's true. He's the only Lord. He's the only King. All right? He is the one who has all the authority. He has the Lordship. And thankfully, He works with us, and He wants us to be part of His kingdom building. And He gives us authority, and He gives us power to be the witnesses that He wants us to be. Understand today that Jesus, you know, this is a strategic time when Jesus says this. We don't hear this statement from Jesus, at least not in this way and not this forcefully, until the very end of His ministry, where Jesus stands before His disciples and says, "All the authority is mine." And you know what? A question that I think needs to be asked is, well, when did this happen? And the answer is, it happened on the cross. It happened with the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the full authority became His. When Jesus defeated death, and when He rose from the dead, He was given complete authority and lordship, and He was given the dominion over all things. All things are under the dominion and under the authority of Jesus Christ. But understand this, it had to do completely with His obedience. And I believe, maybe you should argue this, but I believe that if Jesus hadn't been obedient to the cross, He wouldn't have all that authority. That death wouldn't be under Him. That we would still be condemned. So, I guess what I'm trying to say, I believe what the word is saying is that it's because of Jesus' obedience to the Father, because He was willing to go to the cross and die, that He could stand just before He ascends into heaven, He could stand before His disciples and say, now, all authority is mine, because I have conquered death, I have defeated sin, and I am the Lord. Amen? I am the Lord. I am the King. I am the King. Right? But it's because He was obedient. And how important is that one statement? Again, what does Jesus say? Teaching them to be obedient. That's what we should be doing. We should be teaching each other and all the others who need to be here or in His body, in His church, or other churches. They need to be taught to be obedient to everything I have commanded you, He says. It's about obedience. So if that was true for Jesus, it's true for you. It's true for me. That here's the thing, what the word says is that as obedient as I am, that's how much power will be inferred upon me. As obedient, the more obedient I am, the more God will trust me with His authority, the more power He'll give me to stand firm against the enemy, to proclaim the kingdom of the risen Christ. It's dependent on how we respond to Him in obedience and how we live our lives. It really is. It really is. He wants an obedient people. He wants a people who will take the power that He's given and who will go into the world and will tell people that our salvation is in Jesus Christ, that there's hope. You know, we live in such a hopeless world. We live in such a dismal, dark world, a place where people don't know Jesus Christ. And yet, we've been given the power to go and change that world as long as we do it in obedience, as long as we carry out the very mandate, the most important thing that He's ever told us to do, and that's to go into the world. And we have a message to bring to the nations, but not just to the nations. We have a message to bring to our neighbors, to maybe our father or our child or the neighbor who lives down the hallway. We have the greatest, listen to me, we have the greatest news that anyone could ever conceive of. Why are we keeping it so close to our chest? Why aren't we sharing it? It's about being obedient. It's like when Jesus told the story of the talents. The one who had 2 talents and He used those talents, He was given 2 more. The one who had 5, it was doubled. It's the same thing. God's given us a great message. He's given us the words of life, the words that can actually change someone from going to hell to spending an eternity with God. And if we're faithful with those talents that God's given us, He'll give us more. So, you want power, and I know we do, and we talk about it often. We want to see the power of God, we want to see the power of the Spirit, we want to see the changed lives. Well, it has to do completely with going into the world and being faithful and being obedient with that good news that we've been given. We have authority. First of all, we have authority to go. You know, you think you can go out with authority. I didn't make this up. It's in the Bible. He says, here's the authority that I do give you. You go into the world. So here's where our authority lies, to go into the world. To tell and to teach. There's a second thing. You've got authority to tell people. You don't need to hold back. If there's someone who doesn't know Jesus, or if that opportunity comes up, or someone asks you that question, why are you different? Why do you get that smile? Why do you have that countenance on your face? People don't use that word countenance nowadays. But if someone said that to you, you know, you have permission to share the power of God. We have the authority to tell. The authority to speak the good news. Right? We have the authority, here's the third thing, you have the authority to baptize. We need to be baptized. It's a symbol of our cleansing and of the Holy Spirit filling us and of a brand new life. If you haven't been baptized before and you're a believer, let me back up. If you're not a believer, become a believer. Ask Jesus in your heart and then be baptized, the Bible says. Get cleansed. It should be visible. It should be tangible. It should be cold. Well, not necessarily. But it should be something that you remember and you know that it's the beginning of a brand new life. It's not the end of it. It's not a graduation, it is the first step. You should be baptized. And I have the authority to tell you that today on the basis of God's word. Because I'm proclaiming to you today that the kingdom of God is here. And that the kingdom of God is here. It's within you, right? So to tell and to teach and to go and to baptize and to make disciples. Here's another one. You have disciples. You have the authority to make disciples. There's nothing stopping you from walking along the road and saying to someone, follow me. Jesus did it. Let me share what Jesus has done in my life. Do you want to come to a Bible study? Are you interested in knowing more about who this Jesus is and how He's changed me and how He can change you in ways that you can't even imagine? Wow, we have the authority to make disciples, not of Len or Chris, but make disciples of Jesus Christ. Because as I said before, this is not about Len and Chris. This is about Jesus, right? It's about Jesus. He has all the authority. Now beyond that, there's a number of passages that talk about other things that we seem to have authority to do. And I want to read them to you. A couple of things here. But what I want you to see, and this is really important, I want you to recognize that every time, and I know that we start salivating spiritually about some of this stuff because you go, oh, that's cool. Oh, when's that going to happen? People being raised from the dead, you know, and we get really excited about the things, about the signs and the wonders. And that's great. I'm as excited as any of you. I want to see more and more of that, the healing and the deliverance. But understand this today. In every single passage, the power of the Holy Spirit and the power that we find in signs and wonders is always, always, always connected to that word, go. So it's always connected to the harvest. You understand? The wonderful thing about the moving of the Holy Spirit and the people being cleansed and healed and demons driven out of them, all of that is absolutely essential. We need it in our church. We're seeing more and more of it, but let's not miss the connection here that the context for the power of God is always the mission of God. I'll show you. Matthew chapter 10. You can just listen to these. Matthew chapter 10 verse 6 says this, Go, rather, to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely you will give. Isn't that something? all those wonderful things. But here's what precipitates this is that you got to preach the good news. The kingdom of heaven is near. Go to the lost sheep, he says. We already did Matthew 28, but let's look at Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority." There's that word again. It's not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You get it? You're going to get power, he says. According to the authority that I give you, you're going to get power, but the power is so that you will be my witnesses. You see, there's a connection there. When we miss that connection, then the fire doesn't have a fireplace, okay? Then the context isn't there. The context for the power of God is the mission. It's the harvest of God. He makes it clear there. One more example. In Acts chapter 2, you get that great sermon that Peter preaches. And he addresses the crowd, and he tells the crowd about what Joel had prophesied about years before. And here's what he says in Peter 2, verse 17, or verse 15, sorry. He says, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." And to that I say, he hasn't been here at 9 in the morning. But anyways, he goes on, and he says, "No, this is what was spoken about by the prophet Joel. Listen to these great things. This is prophesied by Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of that great and glorious day of the Lord." But now get this. "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Is it clear? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what God's Word is getting at? That there's that context of, the context is mission. The context is the harvest. The context is that we need to be laborers in the field, bringing people to Christ. That we have a message to bring. That the power of the Holy Spirit is ours, but that power is to be used to bring people out of darkness Amen. Into His wonderful light. Amen. That's the context. And if you want, and I know you do, you want more power? You want to see more people get healed? I do. You want to see people free from the demonic hold that Satan has in their lives? I know I do. You want to see those with sickness made well? Those who are in bondage. Man, those who are in bondage, you want to see them set free? Here's what we need to do. We need to preach that the kingdom of God is here. We need to proclaim good news. We need to proclaim good news that Jesus is alive and that he can take your life. He can turn it into what he wants it to be, something wonderful and amazing and hopeful again. You want to see the power of the Holy Spirit unleashed in this place or in your life? Then tell people about Jesus. This is not rocket science. Just tell people about Jesus. Find somebody. Maybe go to the mall. You know, go to the funeral home, for crying out loud. Just sit in the entryway there for a while. There's people there. They're needing. Go to, you know where we should be going? Go to the old people's home or the nursing home, because those people are closer to death than most of us. Go there and just sit down with someone and say, "Do you know Jesus? And do you know that he has a wonderful and an eternal life for you? And that all you need to do is ask him into your heart." God knows that we aren't particularly bright, and that's why he made it simple. You don't need to pass a course. You don't need to go to classes. Anyone can ask anyone this question. Anyone can. And even a child can believe that all we need to do is to say to someone, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you my story. And let me ask you whether you want to have a story with him as well. Thank you, God. We want the power of God. We need to have the heart of Christ to have the power of God. And I'm just telling you this morning that the heart of Jesus was always a heart for the lost. Luke tells us that Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost. The heart of Jesus is the person who's down and out, the person who's hungry, the person who's hopeless, the person who's addicted, or the person who's rich and lost in his pride. That's who Jesus came to die for. That's who Jesus loves. Sometimes people say to me, I just want to be closer to God. Anyone ever said that before? Anyone ever felt, okay, three of us, good, I'm feeling better? Come on, guys. I want to get closer to God. That's an easy thing to agree to, right? I want to be closer to Him. I don't know what happened. I used to be closer. I used to pray more. I used to feel the Spirit deeper inside of me. I don't know what happened. I want to get closer to God. I want you to know this morning that God has that same desire on His heart. He wants to get closer to you. But you've got this barrier. You've got this wall built up. You've got something that's blocking Him from really touching your heart. Because we do that. I want you to know that if you have that desire, you want to get closer to God, man, God's with you there. He just can't wait for that to happen. God's been working that out in your life. He wants that to happen in your life. He wants to touch your heart. It's why God said, Jesus said, what's the last words Jesus said? He said, I'll be with you always. Think about that. Even if you don't feel like He's with you, He is with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew starts with that word and he ends with that word. I think it's all really cool. Now Matthew says that Matthew chapter 1, he says his name will be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And Matthew ends with this last statement, and I will be with you always, right? That's the message. I want to be with you. I am for you. In fact, if you look at that word, it's not just I'm going to be with you, meaning I'm just kind of with you. He says, man, I am for you. I am on your side. I've got your back. Right? I am for you. And if God is for us, who can be against us, right? This is the God that we worship and that we have given our lives to, right? If God is for us, God, He says, I just want to be near you. I want you to have the same heart as I have. Heart for the lost and the hopeless and the people who don't know me yet. So, I just want to end with these two things. Number one, if you want to be closer to God, if you really have that desire in your heart today, you want to have that intimate relationship again with Him. And this is the negative one. Then stop being where you hope He doesn't come. Stop doing things where you're driving Him away and you don't even want His... we say, well, why isn't God near us? Why doesn't He come closer? But we spend so much of our lives pushing Him away, right? We don't want Him to be in this room. We want you in the prayer room, Jesus, but not in the other rooms, right? If we do pornography, just as an example... There's not too many people I know who look at pornography and at the same time are praying, oh God, be close to me now. Hey, we're not doing that. We're going, get out of the room, God. You don't want to see this. Honestly. And we do that with so many other things too. When we go with the girls bar hopping on Friday night, we're not saying, oh, come on, God, join us in here. We want to feel how close you are to us. Just come into my heart. We're not doing that, right? So really, it's not a surprise then, right, when God's at arm's length, because we've been pushing Him at arm's length. We don't want Him in those rooms. We don't want that intimacy. We don't want Him to see what we're doing. We're hoping he doesn't, even though he does. So, there's the one thing. You know what? It was just common sense. You can't live both ways. You can't. If you want to be close to, if you don't want to be close to God, then this doesn't make any sense. It won't matter. But if you really want that intimate walk with Jesus, that relationship with Him, then you've got to stop doing stuff that pushes Him away. Where what you're really saying is, I don't want you close to me. I do not want you near me now. Okay? That's the one thing. The second thing is just a reiteration of what I've said all along. That if you really want to get close to Jesus, it's really simple. Then do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. Go into the world. You know, sometimes people think and say, you know, we want to see so much more happening. Why doesn't God do more? You know, when, God? When are you going to break through? When are we going to see that revival that we've been praying for? When is it going to happen? I believe that His answer to us is, when are you going to go? What are you waiting for? Yeah. When are you going to go into all the world? When are you going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth? When are you going to teach them to obey me and to obey all the things that I've commanded you? And I'll tell you what, when you do that, you won't be asking that question anymore. When is God going to start moving around here? Amen. I'm here today to do just one thing, and that's to preach the kingdom of God. I believe what God's word says is this, that when we proclaim the kingdom of God, we can expect signs and wonders, that it comes out of that context. So that's what we're gonna do this morning. That's what we have been doing. We're gonna start with a couple things. If you're not a Christian, and it's possible, everyone here's a Christian, that's fine. But if you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christ follower today, then it is gonna happen rather quickly. I want to give you an opportunity to just stand up and make that a declaration. It's time. It's time to change your life. It's time to have Jesus in your heart. It's time that you hear the message and you respond to it. So, right now, if you want to become a Christian, you're not, just stand up. Anyone here? Anyone want to become a Christian? Dave, anyone else? This is just an opportunity. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Here's an opportunity that you know for sure. You know for sure that you're walking with Jesus. Dave, you want to know that, right? Come here. You've done this before. We're going to pray again, though, okay? You love Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. You relapsed again. All right. Well, he puts his hand on your heart today, and he says, Dave, you're my son, and I welcome you into my family. Okay? I want you to say after me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my heart.
Forgive my sins.
I belong to you.
Hallelujah. Amen. David, you belong to Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Anyone else? You know, we're not going to rush on. If you're not sure of your salvation, you stand up today, I'm going to pray for you. You are going to become a Christian today. And if there's no one else, that's okay. Because you know what? He has all the authority. I don't. So this doesn't reflect on me. This reflects entirely on Jesus Christ. So one more time, if you don't know that Jesus is in your heart, okay. Hey, are you sure? That's okay. I was hopeful. You know, I'm doing this. That's not true. You know, it really doesn't matter. What matters is what God wants here. So, anyone else, you don't know for sure, you want to know for sure today, all you need to do is make that simple prayer. Anyone want to do that besides Dave? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, secondly, now it's time for some healing to begin. And this is scary. This is the stuff we're good at. I went to seminary for 4 years. No one taught me one thing about this. But it doesn't matter, because God is in control and he has all the authority. So I want to give this opportunity again. I believe this on the basis of what God's word says, that when the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God has been proclaimed, we have the context to expect signs and wonders and miracles and healings and people driven, demons driven from people. Okay, so need a little bit of help. So I'm going to ask if the leaders, we picked leaders in our church, if you come stand behind me, and if you're going, I have no idea what we're doing here, that's okay. Come up here, help me out. We're going to pray for people today, because some of you need prayer. Some of you need a miracle in your life. You hear me? Some of you are waiting for this miracle to happen. There's marriages, I know that God was saying to me this morning, there are marriages here that need to be healed. There's destruction and there's brokenness. Maybe it's a marriage that you need a miracle for. I don't know. Maybe it's a physical healing. Come for prayer. Let's pray. Why don't we just believe this? Right? Jesus said that we had the power. He gave us this much power. He gave us this much authority to pray for people who need it. So I don't care if your back is sore. I don't care if you can't walk or if you have cancer or you got a heart condition. It doesn't matter. I invite you today in a few moments just to come up and pray. And we're going to believe in faith that God will put his hands upon you and that God will heal you. Thank you, God. I guess they're coming up already, so come on up. If you need prayer, you need healing, let's not hesitate. Don't let anyone steal your miracle. It's time. It's time, right? Yeah. You know, there's that story about the pool, right, where only one person gets healed and everyone else, you know, they all scramble, only one gets in there. Today is the day for you to be touched by God. Thank you. Let's pray together. God, look at this, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord.
Can you pray for a marriage?
I absolutely will. I'll be there in a minute. So join me in prayer. God, you know our needs, Lord. You know what's happening right now. There are people being prayed for, Lord. People that need to be delivered. People who need to be set free, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We need this, Lord. We believe that you're a God of miracles. We believe that you're the God who can set us free, Lord. Set us free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Alone I'm Son of God, all the world will see, you are God, you are God.
Hello! Thank you.